News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the chips in the BC. It is Sunday, the 26th of December, the last show of Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we're going to be bringing you some of the coolest stuff there is, news, information. We may even answer a couple of your phone calls. You just never know what's going to happen. We're going to start with the news, and we should start with Steve.
Thank you. We reported last week that Apple was filing lawsuits in California against unnamed defendants for leaking trade information. Well, this week they're named. They found out there were three websites that are known for posting Apple rumors. Apparently got someone inside of Apple to talk about an upcoming product. And Apple, along with most other companies, don't like to comment on unreleased products because then it stops the sales of the currently released products. PowerPage.org, Apple Insider, and Think Secret were subpoenaed last week and have to turn over all the codes and documents they got on this new product. And apparently in November, these websites are reporting that Apple is developing a music breakout box that allows you to connect musical instruments to your computer. And that goes along with the GarageBand software that Apple released earlier this year to let you create music at a home user level without needing to go up to Apple's Pro Logic or DigiDesign's Pro Tools, which is huge in the pro audio arena. So it's if you have musical instruments, you can plug in an instrument to your computer and be able to make really neat music. All the rumors are pointing to the fact that Macworld San Francisco is coming up January 10th, and Apple's expected to release new products. Although again, Apple and most other companies now don't use trade shows to release new products because then everyone stops buying stuff just before the trade show comes. So it's going to be interesting to see how well this lawsuit progresses and what's going to happen to the websites. It's the typical trade secrets versus right to free speech lawsuits. And also this week, Apple is suing several developers who have allegedly released actual code for Apple's upcoming operating system called Tiger, version 10.4, that they're expected to talk more about in January. They released it to their developers last summer, so the developers have a chance to look at the new code and write programs for it before it's released to the general public sometime next year. So it's Apple's trying to protect their trade secrets, protect their confidentiality, and declining to further disclose product information until it's actually released. So it's sort of the running joke in the Apple community that Apple releases or Apple announces something, and then they announce when it's going to be available, and we all take bets on when it's really going to be available, between when they say it's going to be available to when it really is available. But on the other hand of that, there's another interesting story coming out of InfoWorld about IBM and Apple. IBM currently makes the PowerPC G5, the heart of Apple's high-end pro computers. And it's based on the IBM Power 4 architecture that IBM puts in their mini computers and some of their mainframes. So they're looking at the Power 5 and what the next generation of PowerPC is going to be. So there's always speculation about something better is going to be coming. And when the chip companies come out with something better, then the computer companies build a product around it. So it's this weird development cycle where you know what could be happening, and then you want to know what is happening, and then you want to be able to buy it. So it's catch-22 that you can't know what's coming until it's released, but you want to know what's going to be released, and you can't till it comes.
Well, and of course, developers have to know ahead of time so they can write product, so they can write code for it.
And
so
make sure their current
programs.
There's
a built-in leak spot.
Right. They got to make sure all their current programs work with the new OS.
Exactly.
There's always going to be the people on the bleeding edge that jump on it immediately and then find out what doesn't work.
Right. All right. And that's your Macintosh news for the week. And now on to Dave.
Okay. So kind of a quiet week
You know, I mean, in my hometown.
Yeah, there was a few things going on. I mean, out in Iowa, a judge out there awarded $1.8 billion in damages due to spam. And they're sitting there saying, you know, whether this is really going to discourage some of these companies. And again, it's going to be, are they ever going to really collect on it? I mean, you know, sitting there trying to get that kind of money out of these companies that are doing it, and they just fold their tents and, you know, sort of disappear into the night and forget about getting any money out of that. So, it's like one hand clapping. Anyways, Google smacks down on Santi Worm. It's kind of spreading through the internet. It infects your web servers running a popular package online bulletin board service. And a lot of companies are saying, again, you know, update your antivirus, because it's the only way to stay ahead of these guys. Just like we tell you each week, folks, as far as the antivirus and the spam.
That Santi Worm has a new version out, by the way. And it not only attacks PHP-BB, but attacks all kinds of PHP scripts. So if you use PHP at all,
you're
vulnerable. And the way it finds them is it uses Google, which is a frightening
big,
idea.
Big search engine.
Right, I mean, and so if Google is going to be used for this sort of stuff...
I mean, that's right up there. You know, between I would say the most popular are Yahoo and Google for searching anywhere on the web. I mean, yep. I've got a default page that I open up, and there's Google to do all my searching. It's one of the most powerful ones out.
Well, what happens is this thing not only will compromise your system, but once it does, it connects it to an IRC server where there are already over 700 zombie programs waiting, attack your system.
Yeah, and the phishing. You know, it'll also lead you, you know, get you into phishing. And what phishing for you folks is, again, which we've been talking about for the past few weeks, is literally you'll get endorsement. And it's amazing. Over the holidays, just this past week, the number of folks that I've heard and talked to that have had identity theft.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a very good friend of mine. She got nailed and got a call from one company saying, did you request an additional credit card? And it turns out that there was a couple other requests. And it turns out it was here locally.
Locally.
Nice. But there's a lot of others. I mean, I was talking to another person last night. They had out in the West Coast, they're questioning, why are you all of a sudden getting all these hits on this purchase and, you know, this, and this? It was like over $3,000. Even my own sister got scammed. And she's pretty tight. I mean, she's very diligent, you know, in keeping the updates and everything else and running the dancing the tango and all that. But there's so many schemes out there, and the folks are getting drawn into them.
Yep.
And it's the old adage. You know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, folks. Yeah. And do not. Here's the big thing. And another thing that folks were complaining about is, I get all these junk emails, so I sit there and I tell them to remove me. Do not reply to any of those emails that say at the bottom, to be removed, click here.
They may remove you from that list, but they'll probably add you to 1,000 others.
What they're doing is searching for live users, people who are, well, let me be honest, dumb enough to click on stuff in an email. So what they're doing is they're saying, what'll happen is they'll send out 1 billion emails. They get 1,000 responses. They then sell those to other spammers as guaranteed live person at the other end.
And you're just helping them create that list and make more money because it's all based on the size of the list.
One of the other things to keep in mind with identity theft is your recyclable bin. There's been a lot in the news lately about people going dumpster diving, and we used to call it. But now with all the recyclables out in front of your house, make sure you shred credit card bills that you're throwing away. Shred free credit card offers that you get in the mail all the
time.
Yeah,
one of my wife's clients had that happen when he was on a business trip.
Yep.
And they called him, questioned him about these charges. And he's like, no, I didn't charge that. So, all right, anyways, back to the PC world. All right, with the new year coming, you know, we hope to, you know, really see a lot of great changes in that in the PC world. But a lot of the folks out there are saying, AMD and Intel, as far as any great chip designs or anything else that are going to make them run, you know, be the next big hot thing to get, isn't really going to come until 2006. So if you're thinking of getting a PC, you know, go ahead and get it now, because anything as far as, you know, big double core processors that like Intel and AMD are working on really won't be ready until the end of next year and released until 2006. So if you're looking for a PC, get the best deal you can right now, because the next thing coming up as far as big chip improvement won't be around until 2006, which leads me later on when we have our website of the week and hot product. I found another great thing that you can get to help speed that up, since they're not going to increase the processors. We'll work on other things, folks.
Excellent. For those of you who are looking at the ShowCam page right now, we don't have a ShowCam, so you're looking at last week's. But if it makes you happy, God bless you. Knock yourself out. There are some new security holes in Windows. Three of them, as a matter of fact.
No.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
I'm sitting down.
Yeah, I'm glad you are, too. This just hit the other day, so it's pretty recent. A lot of the online security news groups talked about it. Symantec has confirmed that it's true, and one of the three vulnerabilities involves image handling, which has posed problems for both Windows and Unix systems in the past. The other two vulnerabilities involve Windows Help System and its .hlp files, and Windows ANI, Automatic Number Identification Authentication capabilities. So basically, don't download help files and don't download ANI files. That's the start. Vonage, for those of you who are into the Vonage's voice over IP service, you can now buy that at CompUSA. I think that's kind of cool. Interesting problem, we already talked about the Google thing. Boy, that's going to just get worse and worse and worse. I don't care what anybody says. It's going to be pretty bad. For those of you who used to read Slate at slate.com, that was a Microsoft product. It was an online magazine. It pretty much tanked. It was not great. And it appears that the Washington Post just bought it from Microsoft. Or if you want to look at it another way, Microsoft unloaded Slate on the Washington Post. For those of you who are Open Office fans, and really who isn't, 2.0 is coming up on beta test. Pretty soon, it should be pretty interesting. There's, it does a whole bunch of other interesting stuff. It'll connect SQL on the back end, and it does a whole lot of other neat things. So for those of you who are using OpenOffice right now, be aware that there's a new version coming down the pike that's just going to be very, very hot. New study out shows that for systems on the internet, Linux systems stand up against net attacks longer than Windows boxes. I don't know why anybody would pay for a study like that, since it's pretty obvious. There's an amazing thing going on right now with a Marine who died in Iraq, and his family can't get at his email.
Yeah.
Yahoo is preventing them from getting at his email.
And citing confidentiality.
So people are blasting them left and right. It's pretty amazing. And, of course, for those of you who have been hiding under a rock the last couple of days... on Wednesday, J.K. Rowling announced that she has finished the next Harry Potter book. It is already the number one bestseller on Amazon.com. Can you believe that?
This is probably 6 months from actually being released, right?
It's July 16th that will be released, yeah. And it's already the number one selling book on Amazon. Just the fact that it's done. I don't even know why she bothered to write it. She should just announce it.
When I was at the bookstores before Christmas shopping, I noticed a lot of the stores were doing Harry Potter gift sets, three book, four book, five book gift sets. Book one was maybe half an inch thick. Book two was 3/4 inch thick. Book five is 17 inches thick.
Right. Right. The new one is going to be smaller. She says it's smaller. Here's something interesting. I've been reading a lot of old, I got a Rocket book. It's an e-book-wise book.
Yeah, you had an e-book. Last week.
And so I've been reading a lot of old e-books and a lot of the old free ones from places like Gutenberg, our old books. And I've been reading old Raymond Chandler books. What I discovered is that Muggle is 40s slang for marijuana.
Cool.
In America.
Here in America. Yeah, I don't know what it meant in England, but there's a new instant messaging tool, Friends and Family Internet Instant Messenger, being used by the Air Force. And Mozilla has a new product, codenamed Lightning, that will be, it's already being touted by other people, not by Mozilla, by other people as the Outlook killer. It's going to be all the stuff that Outlook does, calendaring and all of that stuff. task reminders and things like that. And it's not the only Outlook competitor. There's a bunch of others out there. There's a product called Chandler, as a matter of fact, and a couple of others out there. But, of course, when Mozilla does something, people stand up and notice because of the unbelievable popularity of both Firefox and Thunderbird. Microsoft is writing a scaled-back version of Windows, the Windows XP Reduced Media Edition. We won't see it, however. European regulators have ordered Microsoft to do this, to produce a version without a built-in media player. Because we had that same problem here. Somebody sued about that, and of course here in America, Microsoft won, but in the European Union, they lost. And for those of us who are following the fortunes of Red Hat, they actually pulled out a profit this time. That means the company earned 6 cents a share for the third fiscal quarter ending November 30th. Pretty neat stuff. $10.8 million.
Pretty slick for free software.
Yeah. For free software, and what they're really, of course, selling, what Red Hat is selling, is service and support.
Yep.
And their packaging, what they've added on, what they've changed, what they've made a little different, and so that's pretty neat that people are beginning to make a little money off of free software. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe. Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. No dancing.
Nissan. Today, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
You. I had no idea where you thought you were going with that musical intro. Do you want to tell us, or are we just going to...
Well, I thought the words were going to start soon.
They haven't even started yet. How long were you going to wait? What is this, the Stairway to Heaven version? The 17-minute one whole side of the tape?
Here you go.
Oh, yeah, that's better. Thanks.
You know what this song is? I will give you $20 cash if you tell me who... Not you guys. Nick, you.
Was it written after 1880? I don't know it.
Steve, you know what
it is. Steve, you know what it is.
Yes, I have heard it.
What is it?
Never mind.
Let's see.
What is it?
From the 80s.
80s, you remember that.
Lionel Richie?
It's the 60s I have trouble with. The 80s I remember. What is this song?
Don't worry about it. I'll tell you.
Will you tell me what this song is or not?
Party All the Time by Eddie Money.
Eddie Money, that's right.
Oh, yeah, great. Okay. All right. We're
former police officer.
Well, thanks. I feel a whole lot better now.
No, I remember hearing the tune.
Yeah, I may have heard the tune when I
was 5, maybe, when it came out. Sorry.
Yeah, I bet you were, too. All right. We're back to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
I'm Rob. Incredibly obscure musical references, Linton.
Whatever,
okay.
Let's just say my musical taste has been diversified over the past month and a half.
Yes, it has. Growing. I'm very impressed with some of the stuff that you've come up with.
How many times do you try to get stumped at the DJ gigs?
With what?
Anything.
Music you don't know.
There's no music he doesn't know. Now.
No, all the time. I'm trying to type on AIM here. You guys are bothering me.
I'm sorry. We were asking you to do your job when he was on AIM.
You know what stumps me more with DJ gigs and stuff that I do is when people want like 50s and 60s. That gets me a little bit, but I'm starting to get better with that. And then like polka and stuff like that.
There's only one polka song, and it just repeats differently.
Yeah, right. You don't have good polka music?
No, I have one polka CD that I hide, so nobody sees it.
John Candy did a polka CD.
Wasn't Weird Al Yankovic's father a big polka?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Well, as dials are being turned off all across the...
Yeah! All right, so you're saying we should go to the phones? Is that the theory?
May not hurt.
All right, just... To make Rob happy, we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to talk to John from Elmira Heights. Welcome, John. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I want to know, how do you use Dazzle, D-A-Z-Z-L-E? It's supposed to change your, if you have videos, you want to change it to BBBs. What do you do?
Are you talking about the Dazzle Hollywood Bridge?
I don't know. It's a...
The Dazzle.
It comes with a thing. I'm one end of the cord. You're supposed to be able to plug it into your VCR, okay?
Yeah, the Dazzle Hollywood Bridge from Pinnacle Systems is an analog-to-digital converter. One end should have a composite video port that you plug into your VCR, and the other end probably has a little FireWire port that you plug into your computer.
Yeah, something like a SUV, I guess they call them. And what I don't understand, I plug it in, and I'm not getting the connection between the computer and the... VCR.
What OS are you running? Operating system?
Pardon?
What operating system?
I'm using it's an IBM.
Yeah.
So probably some version of Windows.
Windows 98?
I'm using Windows Millennium.
What?
Thank you. You've just made Dave's whole year. Thank you so much.
Pardon?
The Dazzle software that you run on your PC should... detect the video signal and let you push play on your VCR and you push record on the PC software.
Yeah. Well, how do you... I'm still not getting any connection. Now, what do you... Do you have to go to... tools and then go down there for a recording source?
When you plug in the Dazzle, where do you plug it in on the PC?
It goes into those ports that, like, your... What do you call them, SUVs or something?
USB?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know if it does USB. I think it does 1394.
Right, most of them use FireWire 1394 for digital video. And the software that it came with looks like it's called Studio Plus from the Pinnacle website.
This comes with a disc, two discs. One says Quick Start, and the other says... I forgot what the other one is. It's for the drivers.
Right. You have to load the drivers. You have to load the capture program. And then, theoretically, you just launch the capture program, push play on the VCR, and push record in the software.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Studio it's Media not just a matter of plugging Studio things Plus. In. You also have
but
to load all that software.
Yeah, but how do you, first of all, can it work with Roxio? Or do you have to use something else other than Rocket?
You
have
to use its own software.
You have to use its software to do the video capturing. Yep. And then
it won't work with Roxio.
Well, no, after you get the video into your computer, you use Roxio to burn it to a DVD.
So it's a two-step process. You import it with your one software and you export it with the other. Is your computer a Compaq?
No, I'm using IBM. IBM clone, actually. A guy over here on 14th Street here put it together for me.
Okay, then you're all right. It doesn't work with old Compaqs because they have a proprietary BIOS, but every other system should work. So what you need to do is you need to take the software. When you plug it in, you need to load the driver from the one CD, then load the software from the other CD. Then you use that software to get the video into your computer. Then you use the Roxio software to get the video back out.
And then he's also going to want to make sure that his USB ports are enabled. So
May not work over USB. Usual.
It says it doesn't. So it's not USB. It's got to be FireWire.
Well, no, some of them are also USB 2,
Right,
which
but
is
only
fast enough.
USB 1.1, you can't
it
do
it.
It
may not work, yeah.
All right, we do have to take a break.
I made a mistake. It's Eddie Murphy that sang that song. Like, his one attempt at singing, not Eddie Money. So we got about 800 calls about that. So I just thought I'd tell
you. I've heard of Eddie Murphy.
Well, of course you have.
I've actually
anyways,
heard of Eddie
just
Money.
Just to ensure that we actually get computer calls again. Yeah. This is back from when you get prom time, maybe?
You know, the kindest thing I can say is that your taste is eclectic. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob, I Can Find Music From Anywhere, Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Yes. Like you look a little upset. Are you mad?
No, not at all.
Love ZZ Top.
Why would I be mad?
Well, put some Mark Maninoff for him.
I mean, it's not geeky music or anything like that.
I don't care. No, I love this stuff. Play whatever you want. I'm happy. I'm not only happy, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites, and it's not your normal soundbite.
We are sharp-dressed men today.
It's the last one of the year. You have your Andromeda shirt on. Yep. You have your Harley Davidson shirt on. I've got my Linux shirt on. I've got tucks on the back of mine.
I've got nothing on. I mean, no.
Whoa!
That's why he didn't want the camera on.
You're behind the papers here. Stand up. What are you wearing?
Nothing. No, nothing. I mean, nothing logo.
Oh, and this is the day we don't have the camera up and running.
Your hat's got a logo on it.
Yeah, but we can't get
it. It's the Scarlet Letter, I believe. Yeah. It's a big red A.
Oh, one thing before we go to the phone.
He's getting up to come over. No, he's typing into his IM now. He's
IMing it.
He's going to flame
everybody. A little loose on the last show of the year or what?
Yeah. No, he's been into the rumble.
First, we do have to, before we go anywhere, we do have to thank the entire Enright family.
My wife did this whole box up.
Your wife did the box up. You and your grandchild made the cookies. Yeah. And we'd like to particularly thank Lori for setting some aside so they didn't all get eaten before they got here.
Yeah, that was interesting last week. She calls to me and tells me, the rum balls, they don't need no stinking 48 hours.
Yeah.
They're good in 24.
Can you pass me a rum ball?
Yeah, here you go.
Whoa.
Anyways, no, today's a very...
I almost just went off my chair.
Oh, for heaven's sake, it's rumble dust.
You want another one?
No.
Open your mouth.
No, anyways, today I
got a feeling we all will be looking in the want ads.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
No, I got to send out a very special happy birthday to my dad. Oh. Today is, believe it or not, he's 76 years old, and his birthday, yes, is the day after Christmas. What a bummer.
What a bummer. Yep. My friend Patricia's birthday is Monday. I think it's Monday.
Yeah.
He is, my sister's birthday is the 29th.
He's 76 years old today.
Woo! My sister-in-law's birthday is the 18th.
My nephew's birthday is January 1st.
All these people need to have a July unbirthday party.
Yep.
Well, I got a grandson that's born on December 31st.
There you go.
He'll be 2 and...
You had a cousin.
Just in time to catch the tax shelter for the year.
We should probably take another call because we have 2 minutes until another break.
All right, Doug from Penfield, what's your question?
Morning, guys. How are you today?
Peachy, how are you?
Having a ball.
Very good. I'm running Windows XP Home Edition, and I was logging off this morning and got a black screen and the machine hung up. So I powered it down, and now when I try and power it back up, when the Windows startup screen goes for about 5 minutes, I get another black screen and the machine tries to restart all over again. I've tried to start it in safe mode. I've tried to start it with the previous known good configuration, and nothing seems to work.
What I would suggest then is you get your original CD that came with Windows XP?
Yes, I do.
All right, you boot off of that.
Yep.
All right, what you're going to do is on the very first screen, you're going to say install.
And go to the repair mode?
No. First one, you'll see down at the bottom of the screen that you can either go to install or repair.
Yes.
Do the install.
Okay.
It'll go and check the hardware and all that. You'll have to hit the F8.
Okay.
After you hit the F8, you're going to get another screen. At that instant, you can either continue or do a repair. You want to do the repair on the second time.
I did that.
And what it does is reinstall XP over XP.
Yep.
And it did a complete install and didn't fix it?
No, it didn't.
You get to wipe the whole hard drive out and start again.
On that second screen, you can say install, and it gives you a brand new Windows directory. All your data will be intact, but none of your applications will know they're in there.
No, if he doesn't install, it formats the whole hard drive.
Well, depending on which install it,
the second time, when you can either install or repair, if that repair didn't work then he's got to do the install, and that wipes out everything.
He'll boot another computer and back your data off.
Yeah. But that's about the only answer. Yeah, you're looking at doing a reinstall right from the get-go.
Is anybody else completely wasted off those cookies yet?
I was about to say, if you have two more rumbles, you know that picture in the forum
he's playing
from your
Barry Manilow,
where you hated the look in your eyes? You said, why did you pick that picture? Because you were so tired and had allergies. Two more rumbles, you're going to be back there. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob, No, I'm Really Fine, Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
They were young and they had each other. Who could ask for more at the Copacabana? The hottest spot.
Wham's Mike.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Would you guys care to say why I decided to pick this one?
No, but we're Steve's back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. We're going to go to Linda for... Is she gone or is she still here? Why did you take her away, poor Linda? We're going to talk to Linda from Fairport, whether Rob likes it or not. Hi, Linda. What's your question?
Hi.
Hello.
Are you guys there?
We're here. Are you there?
Good.
Okay.
I've listened to your show for years on Saturday morning, and I'm playing hooky from church this morning, so now I get to hear you again. Thank heavens.
Well, thank heavens for a little girl. What's your question, Linda?
My granddaughter here yesterday morning got a used computer from my brother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know too much about computers, but it's a Dell laptop.
Okay.
And it's been around for a few years, and it's got Windows ME in it, and it worked quite nicely all day yesterday. They played a few, he installed a couple little games in it also, and it plays DVDs, so they watched part of a Spider-Man movie on it. Mm-hmm. And everything, and shut it down properly last night. We got up this morning and turned it on, and we get a little sign that says an exception has occurred. Please press Control Alternate Delete to continue and all that, but it does nothing. And even when you press a key or do all that, and I even tried holding the on-off key for a few seconds trying to shut it down like that, like I do with my computer, and it wouldn't even go off.
Okay. Can you get it into safe mode?
How do you do that?
All right. When you're booting the machine, if you keep hitting the F8 key,
keep tapping it.
F8?
Right.
Yeah.
As soon as it powers on, before you see the Windows logo.
Start tapping.
You go in, and you'll get a menu. Option 3 is safe mode. If you go into safe mode, then you go into the control panel. And you go to Start Programs, Accessories, System, and there's under Systems, System Tools, there's Restore, System Restore.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick a different date and time. So you'd go back to, say, yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
And restore back to that point. Try that.
What it sounds like is that...
But I can't get it to do anything. I still have the screen on the window, warning
you're
thing.
You're probably
going
to have to pull the plug on it, shut it off, or pull the battery out of it, and get it to restart. When it's restarting, hit the F8 key.
Keep tapping it till you see that menu.
Okay.
And then you'll want option number 3, which is safe mode. Okay. Now, everything on the screen is going to be super big.
Oh.
Because it loads everything in a very generic way. Go to the Start, like I said, go to Start, Programs, Accessories, and under System Tools, I believe it is, you'll see System Restore. Use that to go back to a previous date, and, say a couple days ago, and try that and see if that solves your problem.
What sounds like what happened is something inside of Windows got corrupted.
The registry.
Something likely in the registry. And it may have happened during one of the game installs. Games are notorious for writing new drivers to make that game work better. And
especially with my beloved operating system that you're using.
Oh, ME, yeah.
Windows ME isn't very capable of newer drivers.
So give that a shot and let us know next week.
And we'll Merry Christmas to you. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, after the news. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the website and all kinds of interesting things on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Mr. Hampton?
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody, on this day after Christmas, 2004. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And you are indeed listening to Sound Bites. Before we get back to the phones, which we will do, so if you're holding on, please keep doing so, we're going to talk a little bit about our website. We run a website at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And every week we have a poll. This poll is about your New Year's resolution. Well, let's start with last week's poll. Let's talk about the results of last week's poll first. Last week was our Christmas poll. 311 of you voted, making it number 80 on the all-time hit list. And the choice, the question was, for Christmas, I really want. And the number one choice was a stable version of Windows. A lot of people still believe in the Christmas miracle. Followed by utilities, followed by games, followed by I still don't do Christmas, you insensitive clod, followed by OS 11, followed by Linux. Oh, wait, that's free, too, and openoffice.org. Oh, wait, that's free. 311 votes, thanks to each and every one of you. This week's poll is about New Year's, of course. New Year's is coming up. My New Year's resolution is less Windows, more Alt OS, less Mac, more, that won't work. Less computer time, more family time. Less music theft, more music buying. Just to pork off the one person in the forums who every week has to say, no, it's okay to steal music because I do it and I'm okay and I can do it. Followed by, I don't do New Year's, you incent. Oh, wait, yes I do. So, so far, there have been 43 of you voting and the winner so far is, I don't do New Year's, you incent. Oh, wait, yes I do. Followed by less computer time, more family time, I'm delighted to say. And once you're done with that poll choice, you'll see below it a yellow box. And if you click in there, you can go to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. Well done. Where you can put in your actual New Year's resolution. The thing is, I hereby resolve. Only six of you have put it in so far, and they all seem to have something to do with an actual New Year's resolution of some sort. So I'm pretty impressed by that. It's so rare that that happens. So please join us at soundbites.org. Once you are done voting, please join us in the forums. The forums have the strangest and niftiest bunch of people I've ever met in my life, or haven't actually met in my life. You'll find a lot of good and interesting stuff in the forum. You'll also find links to our live link to our streaming media. The show cam, except this week it's not up, a link to the security tango. Dave has a PC configuration page online and a weekly tip, which you should try not to miss. It's pretty nifty.
And we got to... in talking with what you had said about, the poll of the week, this week's website of the week is theholidayspot.com/New Year's. Figured. Well, I can't even I can't take credit for this. The lovely Lorraine found this one for me.
The lovely Lorraine.
So I got to give her credit for it. She did a little searching in that, and it's literally you can check in on all the holidays. Because I was sitting there reading the paper, and she goes, "Will you believe it? Certain store in town is already advertising Valentine's candy."
Oh, I don't doubt that.
It's like, give me a break. So we went to this. She went to this website, and there's a lot of neat stuff here, not only for this coming New Year's, but you know, other holidays and that. So check it out. You can do a lot of neat stuff. There's different recipes. You know, if you're having a New Year's party, they've got some other recipes and that that you can grab right there. They've got different wallpapers, screensavers. I mean, it's a really cool site, and you can view it right there online, whereas this other website is going to do, she kind of looked at it and because it had a lot of spyware on that attached to it, so we said next to that one, and she happened to find this one, and it's really a cool site.
Very nifty.
You might want to bookmark that one for even, you know, other holidays coming up, Valentine's. I mean, it's really a cool site.
Excellent. We're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Jeff from Naples, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
I have a problem with a pop-up error when I start Word or Outlook, and it says the add-in template is not valid, and then it gives an add a file name, which is, I can't read the whole thing because there's some dots in the middle of it.
But sure.
It's, C dot 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 startup slash temps dot dot. And there's two of those, and I have to close them every time I start Word or Outlook. It seemed to happen after I did an virus removal, and it only does it on one of my identities. I have like four identities.
Yeah, what that sounds like is that either you legitimately added something to your templates, some sort of macro. For example, Outlook and Outlook Express, or Outlook rather, will add some things to Word, and a couple of other things will legitimately add things to Word, or you've got a virus. Many viruses attack the Word and Outlook startup templates and attempt to add themselves to it so that they can do their damage. And if you have removed a virus, but the template is still infected, then you'll get that error because the template is looking for a virus that's no longer available.
What you might want to do is on Microsoft, if you do a search, go to start run and or start and go to do a search, and look for normal.dot. That's the template for Word.
Okay.
Find that file, delete it. When you restart Word, it recreates it. So if you get rid of that current template that might be bad or infested, it will recreate a fresh one and might solve your issues. But is your antivirus software up to date?
Yes.
And you've danced the tango?
Yes.
Good. You also likely need to remove whatever that startup template is that's trying to run, and that's in the Office Startup folder. I'm trying to find the
Well, if he gets rid of the normal DOT, that might first do it.
Yeah, right, the file will still be there, though.
So it would be in the Office Startup?
Right, in the Office.
So that's what the three dots is Office.
Right.
Right, so find where that Office Startup file is, which might be in the Office folder in Program Directories. And basically that's what tells Word to launch a program when Word starts, and it's happening from Outlook because Outlook is probably using Word as its text editor.
It is.
So something like the Adobe PDF Writer sticks itself in your startup folder, so whenever you launch Word, you can write a PDF. So it's a valid function, but a lot of viruses stick themselves in your startup folder, so it keeps itself infected on your computer. So if you find that startup folder and remove the things that are in there that you don't want to run when you start Word, that will also help. You can also start Word in safe mode, which then doesn't run any of those startup files. And if you go to the start menu, choose run, type winword.exe space slash A. Slash A for safe mode, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that will let you run Word without loading these startup items.
All right. Good luck. Let us know what happens. Our next caller is Ted, calling all the way from Geneseo, New York. Welcome, Ted. What's your question?
Well, I have a computer that I'm going to be giving to somebody, and I have Windows XP Home Edition in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I reformatted the hard drive mm-hmm. and reinstalled Windows 98 because I didn't want to give them Windows XP.
Right.
Now, the only problem I have, everything was fine except for the fact that the video or the screen is not at the right resolution that
right.
it should be.
Right, because XP was smart enough. It's got a lot of those drivers built into it.
Right.
So what you're going to have to do is find out what video card is in there.
Okay, did that.
And download the latest video drivers for Windows 98.
I did that.
And installed them?
Well, that's my problem. How do you install it?
Usually there's an executable file. What type of video card was it?
It's a FIS 530 AGB, which is an old one.
Yeah. When you downloaded the driver, is it a zip file?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to unzip it.
I did that.
And there should be a number of things there, including either an install file or a .inf file.
Okay, maybe that's what it is. Cause I didn't
and
see
if you double-click on the .inf file, something interesting should happen.
Oh, okay.
Go into the display properties.
Yeah,
and,
if you go into the control panel, you can go into display, and then underneath that is different. You can select the video card.
Right, where it'll ask you for drivers, and you can say have disk.
Or, yeah, you can say change. Change in case you're changing the video card, say change, and then point it to that folder that you created, the SIS folder.
With the new driver
And you'll see that folder listed there. You can select it and then say install, and it'll install the newer drivers.
A lot of the older drivers didn't have an installer that did all the installations for you.
Right.
It just created the driver files that you then have to
manually
install.
Do it. Yep.
Right.
Now, I have to tell you, I don't have a copy of the Windows 98 end-user license agreement in front of me, but I believe it's illegal to actually give somebody else your copy of Win 98.
Unless it was the 98 that came with that computer initially.
Yeah, if it came with that computer.
And you upgraded to XP later, you can...
Not if you upgraded to XP, you have to keep the 98 because that's your original license. Read the EULA.
Yeah, that's true.
So, at any rate, we just need to tell you that because we need to tell you what's legal. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco.
And Captain
on
Stubing.
On Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Love, exciting and new.
You can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Maybe I don't want to start. Maybe I just want to listen. All right. We're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Feel the rhythm of the music getting stronger. Don't you fight it till you try to do that conga beat.
Okay. And
that's
we're
what
gonna
we
go
tell
back
folks
to
do all the time.
And we're going to talk to Shelly from Caledonia, New York. Welcome, Shelly. What's your question?
We got a new computer for Christmas. It's a Dell, and it has Windows XP operating system.
Mm-hmm.
And when you set it up, you have parental controls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's inhibiting my instant messenger.
Could be, sure.
How do I go back to the parental controls and release them? Or take them off so that we can access
identity?
It. Even I can't access it.
Yeah.
Well, you might not have set yourself up as administrator.
It is
you
set
are.
Up as administrator.
Yeah, but you can still have your parental control set too low on the administrator account.
Yeah, you got
it. Is it in the new security control panel?
Yeah.
Or where do they hide it? There's a preference somewhere.
I know, I can't find it.
Nick is trying to find it on his XP machine.
Is it internet options?
Oh, might be. Hold on. I'm in the wrong place then.
Yeah, go into internet options.
That's the story of my life, isn't it?
I hear you. But I think it's, under internet options.
Okay, here's the one how to enable parental control. Let me see if that tells you how to disable it, too. Microsoft Knowledge Base article 297733.
Yes, if you go into,
Internet property.
Right, internet. If you go to the control panel and select internet properties... There are a number of things that you can do. The thing I believe we want is...
Is the internet properties under the network and internet connections?
Sure.
Yes. It also looks like each type of internet program has its own parental controls, because I'm finding instructions for Windows Media Player, MSN Messenger.
Right. If you're looking for the general one, it's under Internet Properties, and you get something called Content Advisor.
I don't see it.
Okay. Then you're doing what? Which Instant Messenger are you using?
We tried to download the new one.
But whose?
Which one?
AOL.
AOL. Sorry.
But if you
I have
go-
no idea. I don't use it.
Yeah, there's a dozen different instant messaging clients.
If you go to Start.
Uh-huh.
Go to Programs.
Right.
Go into the Control Panel.
Mm-hmm.
Internet Options.
Okay.
Now, you notice under Internet Options, you'll see the different settings and all that.
Okay. I don't see... Is it network and internet connection?
You're thinking the classic view. Under the Windows XP helpful view, you have to go to network and internet connections, okay. Then internet options.
I know, it all looks different from what I see at work, so
yeah.
I'm kind of lost.
Yeah, you can switch that back to classic view, which
I go to classic,
All the control panels are split out separately.
Okay, hang on a second. Let me do that then.
Well, hold on just one second.
Okay.
If what we're talking about is the AOL parental controls, they're actually built into... AOL, and they're set up separately for each screen name.
Okay, so if I do it on one, I need to do it on all of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Or whichever one you want to,
right.
to leave open.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. But you do that within AOL Instant Messenger.
Right. And if you want the parental controls under the Windows Media Player, you have to do it inside of that.
Yeah.
For Internet Explorer, you have to do it inside of that. Each
one
program.
One at a time.
Okay.
Each program has their own parental controls.
Yep.
So if I'm under, where is properties under network and internet connection?
This would be inside AOL. You want to go into settings, and inside AOL under settings is parental controls. If that's what you're talking about, if you're talking about AOL Instant Messenger, it's actually inside AOL itself. And you want to go to settings, parental controls, and then you can change the settings there. Of course, you have to have the... password if you've set one, but you're kind of on your own for that. There's no way we can help you with that. Our next caller is Russ from Batavia, New York. Welcome, Russ.
Oh, thank you very much.
I passed you by twice yesterday on my way to and from Leroy. How are you?
Well, people pass by Batavia a lot.
My wife was born and raised in Batavia.
What?
A lot of times we're happy about that.
Yeah, I can understand that, absolutely.
I have an HP Pavilion 751N with the Windows XP home version.
Mm-hmm.
And when I log on, and I have the administrator log on, when I log on, all I get is a window that says, with a big red X, it says explorer.exe, entry point not found, and an explanation below that. I can't open programs. I can open some programs if I go to Task Manager, but then they don't progress normally. I mean, for instance, if I put a DVD in, I have to keep going down and finding new tracks from Task Manager. And it says the procedure entry point SH create thread ref cannot be located in a dynamic link library SHLWAPI.dll.
Sounds like something seriously messed up.
Yeah.
What was that last .dll thing?
SHLWAPI, all uppercase.
SHLWAPI. Okay, yeah. What did you say, Steve? That
the shell wappy.
Wait
something,
a minute.
Something is seriously messed
up.
That's the technical term.
Do you have
Russ.
Samantha Norton on there?
No, I have McAfee.
Let's see. I found a link about fixing the shell wappy error. It looks like to be a fairly common DLL file. A lot of different programs use it.
Okay, if I hit OK on that, I will get the background, but none of the icons come up, no matter which mode I'm in. And if I go to, again, to Task Manager,
wait a minute.
Any file, if I hit New Task, I get that same Task Manager entry point not found now.
Okay, but you said it boots up and it's a blank screen?
Right.
Have you right-clicked on the on that blank screen? Because I've had clients do this, and there's a feature in there to hide icons.
Right-click.
Right-click on it, and then there's a feature there. I think it's under Tools.
That seems to be generally an Internet Explorer problem.
Most of the fixes I'm finding.
Did you try to install anything interesting like Comet Cursor?
No.
All right, listen, Russ, hold on. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Russ from Batavia, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we have Russ from Batavia on the line, and Dave may have an answer for
you. Now, Russ, did you try right-clicking on the desktop?
Yes, and it won't open anything.
Okay. Here's what you want to do. Can you get to the start and get to run and type in CMD to get to a command window?
Under create new task?
No. If you go to start...
I can't get to start.
Won't even go to start?
No, I can open up Windows Task Manager and get to the create new task there.
That might work to create the command line task.
You'd have to do explorer.exe.
Well, you might be able to just start CMD itself. CMD.com, is that the full name? It might work. How about safe mode? Does that work at all?
I'm in safe mode. When I go to safe mode, I get a black screen. I don't even get the background.
That's really seriously messed up.
Yeah, I would do our other thing, which is to reinstall Windows over Windows.
I've tried, and it won't find whatever process I need or application in order to even run the disk.
Yeah, well, what you're going to have to do is you might have to first go into the BIOS and change it to boot off the CD first, to look for the CD instead of the hard drive first.
See, when I go to F8, it doesn't give me the option of BIOS.
No.
No, this is way before that menu.
This is way before that. While it's booting, you probably have to hit the delete key or F2, depending on your computer, to get into the BIOS. Within the BIOS, there's a boot sequence. And you've just got to change that order around in the boot sequence to boot first from the CD. And then if you've got your CD in there, the Windows XP CD, it will boot from there. You know, as it's booting, it'll say hit any key to boot from the CD. You hit the enter key, it'll boot. And then at the first time, you say install, and then you'll have to do the license agreement. You hit F8. The second time, it appears down at the bottom of the screen after the license, after you get through the license screen, you're going to see again, continue the install or repair. Select repair from that point, and that'll install XP over XP.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
All right.
Thank you.
All righty.
Okie doke, thanks. Our next caller, Don from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Don. What's your question?
Well, I have an older IBM ThinkPad that got me through grad school. And I recently gave it to my oldest daughter to have for school. And it's been working great, but now she tried to boot it up, and I get this very odd blue screen that comes up during the boot up that says error, and it lists two or three different error codes.
Okay.
As it's got an okay. As I click that, it seems to go into this other window that tells me to put in the date and the time. I do that, and then it just kind of stops again.
Oh, you've got a battery going on that.
Probably, yeah.
Well, I do have a battery in it, but it's also plugged in.
There's a BIOS battery.
Oh.
There's a battery inside that you'd actually have to break down the whole laptop.
Oh, geez.
And put in a little lithium battery.
It's usually the CR3022?
Some
2032,
of them.
Something
not
like
all of them. I mean, laptops, they're usually a series.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. Yeah.
Is this something I need to bring in to have done or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, thanks.
Yeah, sorry.
Bye-bye.
We do that all the time.
Or you just ignore it and put the data in again every time you boot.
But that's kind of a pain in the neck.
But then it might have trouble finding the hard drive.
Or just never turn it off again.
Yeah, that works too.
If it boots, but even so, it should. Yeah. She should get that fixed.
Yeah. That's the problem with a lot of the older computers, that their battery starts wearing out. It's interesting that when most people don't know there's a battery even in their desktop computer that maintains the date and time when you have it turned off.
Right.
A lot of the times the battery is hardly used because you leave it plugged into the wall and it maintains the date and time through what's called a trickle charge.
Right.
But people who have their computer on a power strip, for example, will shut down their computer, turn off the power strip, in essence killing power to the computer so the battery's used. So we've had computers run 10 years and not need a battery, and we've had other computers go 6 months and need a battery.
Right.
Depending on how you turn it off.
Well, and of course, when you buy a machine, how long has the motherboard been sitting on a shelf somewhere?
Exactly. Even if,
right, and, right. And you have no idea how good that battery is anymore.
Yeah.
It's an interesting problem. I want to commend the person on the opinions on AskNick.com, that's AskNick.com, who said they're going to write a fourth-based web browser mail client. Very nice. Take that, Mozilla. Excellent. I don't know if you guys know this, but back in the days when I pretended I was a programmer, I wrote a lot of stuff in Forth. Great language, a great programming language, very fast, very easy to write in, very nifty product.
I did all mine in either Pascal, Fortran, or PL1. PL1 a lot.
Yeah.
When I was at Kodak.
Yeah. See, I never learned most of those languages. Forth, I know pretty good. I know.
I worked on Fifth a little bit.
PHP. There is a Fifth, believe it or not.
Well, there was A, B, and then C.
Right, right. C being the third version of the language.
A and
right,
B
exactly.
Never caught on, but C did.
Are you bored? I don't care. I'm talking. We're geeking out.
It's the end of the year. Yeah. We're retrospecting.
And we're retrospecting, and soon we'll be. Forward specting, but first we're going to go to the phones and talk to Ron from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Good morning, guys. Nice show.
Thank you.
I have Netscape 4.76, and it's been running fine. Just lately, people have been sending me some email, you know, that's mm-hmm. been forwarded and stuff, and I haven't been able to open it. When I click on the address, it opens it, and then I get a message saying this program has performed an illegal act.
What version of Windows are you running?
Windows 98 SE.
You can go up to Netscape 7.2.
It sounds like something may be corrupted in your email directory.
Does this happen with every email or only certain ones?
No, it
ones?
Doesn't. Just when somebody sends me something to open up, like a picture or something.
Yeah,
like
that.
Oh, you know what?
I'd have to say
you're probably pretty lucky. We were talking at the top of the show about viruses that are coming through in pictures and viruses that are coming through in all kinds of emails. And the fact that somebody has sent you a picture, if you check with them and they did indeed send you a picture, then you've got a problem.
Yeah.
But if they didn't send you a picture, then what you're probably finding is that your antivirus software is intervening and preventing it from opening.
Uh-huh. Well, these are people I know, and they're sending me, you know...
Could. I'd still, like Nick said, verify, because if they have a virus, which they might not be aware of, it's behind the scenes sending this out, courtesy of them, to you.
So okay. you can... Most,
verify it.
Most viruses come from people you know inadvertently.
Yeah.
Right. But it's also possible that if it isn't a virus, it's something corrupt in your mail director. Anyone remember if Netscape has the rebuild command like Outlook does?
Okay, so I have Norton 2003 in here, and it'll just override that, and Norton just won't detect it then.
It can, yeah. There are some viruses that will specifically disable Norton and not look
okay,
like it's disabled.
Okay, this will also happen with Windows XP.
Yep.
Any version of anything.
Anything.
So you may be lucky. I would definitely dance the tango. And if your machine is clean, talk to the people who are sending you this stuff and make sure that they're indeed sending it to you on purpose.
One of the ways you can overcome a Netscape directory error is to make a new identity and import the mail from the other identity.
Right.
It will import everything up to the corrupt point and then maybe die, but at least you'll get a new uncorrupted version.
Right. I had a friend who I had to call and say, I think you or somebody you know has a virus. He said, why? And he said, well, I just got a file saying new baby pictures.
From you.
From him. And his, let's just say his lifestyle would not be conducive to having any baby pictures to send me. So since he's a Roman Catholic priest, and it's pretty unlikely that he would have sent me any baby pieces, he laughed. He said, no, those definitely aren't from me. I said, okay, then it's pretty likely that...
Maybe his mother put up his old baby pictures.
His old baby pictures, but as it turns out, it was a mutual friend who had a virus and was that machine was sending out stuff and pulling other names out of the address book and pick the priest's name and pick my name to send them to. And mm-hmm. and so we caught it pretty easily, but it was pretty amusing when I got
it. Hey, it's good for a chuckle.
And I said, okay. I knew immediately it had to be a virus somewhere, but I thought, all righty then. Our next caller is John from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
I have Windows XP. I have a HP printer, TestJet, and it'll print some documents and not others. I cannot print anything from Microsoft Word. But it will print just about anything off the internet that I want to print.
What happens when you try to print?
Yeah. It goes through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
The cartridge goes back and forth and so forth, but it does it fairly quickly and then spits the paper out.
A blank sheet?
Yeah.
It sounds like the ink tanks are empty, but if another document prints...
Yeah. What it sounds like is it may be a corrupted driver. What program do you use for internet?
Internet Explorer.
But he says
other programs are printing it out okay. In Word, so it's got to be within Word that there's an issue.
Yeah.
You might want to try the uninstall from Word.
Well, first I'd
try... And it'll ask you to do a repair when you go to uninstall it. Mm-hmm. It'll give you the option to try to do a repair.
You may also want to try deleting the normal.dot and see mm-hmm. if somehow your print has been changed to white text on a white background.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So try those things. And let us know. I'm afraid we're done for another week. It's time for football. But we'll be back here next Sunday at 11 a.m. We're not going to see you until next year. We'll be back next year with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. And I want to thank all of you for having stuck with us for yet another year, and we'll see you in 2005. I'm Nick Francesco. This is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Behind the scenes at